All right, Tuesday. Here we go. Margo's back. We'll talk to her a little bit later. Get her read on anxiety and air travel and all of that kind of stuff. We'll talk to David Balerato in just a little bit about where he was today, because I think it's very, very important. Oh, special note for this Veterans Day. At the end of every hour, you know, at the end of every hour, I've got these segments. I don't know. They go from about sometimes 50 to 55, sometimes 52 to 57. I don't know. They're 4 or 5 minutes long, most of them. Some of them a little longer. Well, I will play some Veterans Day audio, much of it from Arlington. 1 hour, I'll have President George W. Bush. 1 hour, I'll have Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. And 2 different hours, I'll have a couple speeches from President Reagan. It's Arlington. So be sure to be listening to the whole show. But at the end of the hour, I'm going to turn over the microphone to those gentlemen who gave speeches because they can do it a lot better than I can. And that's where we start with Veterans Day. 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020. Arlington today.
Ceremonial cannon fire rang out as President Trump's motorcade arrived at Arlington to preside over remembrance of the nation's veterans on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. In a solemn event, the President and Vice President Vance placed a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns and then on to the amphitheater. The President joined military, family members, and the public for a Veterans Day program. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Why, thank you, Linda. A little bit more, though, here.
The most important natural resource that we have is that we have hundreds of thousands of young people every single month who sign up to put on the uniform and risk their lives for their fellow citizens. That is a resource we cannot squander. That is a resource we must protect.
That's our Vice President, J.D. Vance. And let's talk about that at 866-391-1020. Let's just have a nice conversation to get going today. How do you handle Veterans Day? I'm somebody who's not a veteran. I'm somebody who knows a bunch of veterans. And I gotta be honest, I find it awkward. It should be a time that should be easy. But I wonder if I'm alone in this or if I'm not. They are some of the people who are the most stoic, who are the most humble, who are the ones who don't want to be applauded nor recognized in a certain way. And I think it's fashionable or chic, or you're told to say, thank you for your service. And in a way, it always feels odd because it's almost like they don't want to be recognized. It's just part of their DNA, part of what they did, and no special thing. And then, also in another way, you almost feel like you didn't do enough. And that's kind of strange. But it's true. I feel like I didn't do enough. And if I could go back in time, I wish I would have done more. But what's the best way to handle it from a non-veteran standpoint to a veteran? I just feel like those words, they're great. They mean a lot. And they're true, honestly, when you say thank you for your service. But you can never fully repay what veterans did for you, for this country, for everyone else. It just is a few words that you deliver to them, and it always feels like it comes up short. And I wish there was more you could do. Perhaps there are actions, and I think that's probably the key here. The actions, how you could take care of them in their time of need, how you can make sure that they have health care, how you can make sure that they have benefits, how you could be sure that around Christmas time that they have the things that they need, or if they're deployed, that their family doesn't have to worry. You know, it's one thing to think about the veterans on Veterans Day, 11-11. But I think the bigger thing, and this isn't me preaching, it's just thinking out loud, is to make sure there are 364 other days where we make sure veterans don't go without, both active and retired and people who just once served at any point in their life. And that's what I think about today. there's no real true streamlined nor way to go about this that everybody agrees upon, I think. But the one thing that I come back to is this, with so many of these holidays, and especially something like Veterans Day, it absolutely needs to be a springboard to something bigger. It can't be one out of 365, and then, well, you wait till next year, and you think about it again. It has to be a springboard into 365 out of 365 to truly be effective. And that's where I am with it. Hopefully it is a Kickstarter for some, and maybe people already do this, to make sure that veterans get what they need all the time. It's tough. It's honestly, it is. Because you never know if you're saying enough, if you're doing enough, and if you're helping the cause to the degree in which it's truly making a difference. And that's the part that's interesting to me. I'm going to talk to David Bolorado in just a little bit, because he was somewhere today where people mounted up, people took it upon themselves, and in the face of a governmental shutdown, they still went ahead and did what they needed to do and frankly did the right thing. But on this Veterans Day, if you're not a veteran, or even if you are, to look at it from two different perspectives is always interesting to me, because I wonder if people who didn't serve can do enough, and what's the right way to do enough. James is in Verona. Hi, James.
Hi, bud. Who am I talking to?
Colin.
Colin. Hey, Colin. I'm a little bit upset. You know, I see the Veterans Day, and I am a veteran. My dog died yesterday.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Man, I wish I could help you there.
Yeah, I wish I could get some help. I need another German Shepherd in this house.
Well, God. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. What was your dog's name?
Sheba.
How old was Sheba?
12.
Oh, man. That's too bad. I feel sorry for you. Well, when did you serve, sir?
When I served? Back in the 73-76 area.
Gotcha. All right. Well, sorry about your luck with your dog. I wish we could have had a better conversation. Do you have anybody you can call or that you can count on?
All my friends are dead.
Oh, man. Tough sledding. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Hopefully that man can call the VA or somebody to help him out. But I'd like to talk to you some more at 866-391-1020. How do you go about bridging that gap between people who didn't serve and people who did serve? And for the people who didn't, I just hope it doesn't become one of those days, because there's too many on our calendar, where it's fashionable to say, Happy Veterans Day, or it's fashionable to say this or that, and then you wait till next year to do something. To me, that's the true test of if this is working or not, if we're celebrating it the right way, if we're going about honoring the people that this day is all about. It just can't be one day, and then you forget about it for a whole year. I do want to talk to David Bolorado in just a little bit, because he was somewhere today that, honestly, even with the government being out, even with an uphill battle, they went ahead and they made it happen. We'll talk to David in just a little bit. NASCO Roofing, instant access to all our shows, just a click away. Email us, instantaccesskdkradio.com. Also, listen for that drive at 5. The story's driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. We'll talk to David in just a little bit right here, KDK. All right, I'll grab your calls in just a moment, but I wanted to catch up with David Bolorado, who's in the newsroom, because, well, he's thawing back out in the newsroom, because he made his way to something very special today that that didn't necessarily go as it goes all the time, but it kept on keeping on through the resilience of people who wouldn't let it go by the wayside. Hi, David. How are you?
Good, Colin. How are you doing?
Wonderful. So tell me where you were dispatched to today.
I was at the National Cemetery of the Alleghenies, where a group of volunteers decided they were going to hold a Veterans Day ceremony, even though there was not scheduled to be one due to the federal government shutdown.
Yeah, what normally happens? Tell me how it normally goes down.
Well, based on their posts, I mean, the National Cemetery of the Alleghenies on their Facebook page 5 days ago, or actually 6 days ago, put up a post that said, due to the government shutdown, we will not be putting up the Avenue of Flags. Thank you, cemetery management. And then that prompted a series of responses about, well, what about volunteers? Why can't we do this? Or how many people do you need to have make this happen? And so, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what happens each year, because this is the first year I've been there to that event, but it looks like this is something that's done each year to put up flags to celebrate veterans on Veterans Day.
Yeah, and not just a couple flags, a whole lot of flags.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's not too far from right here where we are in Greentree, right?
Correct.
Where is it located?
It's sort of down towards South Point.
Right. Okay. You could see it when where the where that sort of new connector kind of comes in.
Exactly.
Right there.
That's how I got there, actually, too.
And so you ran into some people and they put it out. You saw it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You went down there and these people sort of took it upon themselves to keep this tradition going. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Take me through that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they thought it was very important to be able to do this. And so they got together. They had some veterans groups who were already going to be down there. Then they had just a group of volunteers who came out and decided they were going to hold this ceremony. They had a moment of silence, and one of the volunteers read a prayer at the end just to make sure that this happened. Because this woman who I spoke to, her name was Carol Byers. She said it was very important to her for a number of reasons. She had a lot of veterans in her family. Her mother died on Veterans Day, and they also just wanted to make sure that we were able to salute veterans on a day where they're supposed to be saluted, and also on every day as well.
Wow. The government being out, I guess that left them in a lurch in terms of the cost of the flags or the manpower, or what was the difference there?
No, I think the government shutdown being that they wouldn't be able to put up the display along the avenue of they were talking about the avenue of what's it called again? The Avenue of Veterans.
Because those were employees that would put it up.
Yeah, okay. Avenue of Flags. Yeah.
Was it pretty massive to see?
No, it was probably about 2 dozen people altogether.
No, I'm talking about the flags.
They were just your standard flags that you would see.
How many? I'm saying were put up.
I counted 12.
12. Okay.
Let me take that back. I counted 13, and those were a mixture of probably about 8 big ones and maybe 5 small flags that you would just hold in your hand.
Gotcha. Well, I think it's very important, especially in a day it's freezing cold out there.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be out there. To keep it going is something very powerful and something that obviously meant a lot to them.
And that was one of the questions that one of the reporters asked. It said, you know, and she said, well, look, what we're doing out here today, it's not even comparable to what the people who died and are buried here went through. So it was no big deal for them to be able to brave the elements to come out and say thank you.
Well, great. Well, great stuff. I heard the reports. We'll continue to keep them going on our news updates. I appreciate it, David, as always. So be sure to listen for that. That's something special. People took it upon themselves. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Let's talk to Andrew in Pittsburgh. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Colin. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, good. You know, my personal experience with it, my grandfather was a World War II veteran, and so he was my go-to every Veterans Day I'd spend with him. And he always, you know, would tell me the thing he would say more often than not was never again. And so from that, I took away that, you know, the things he saw when he was over in Germany, he was behind enemy lines most of the war, received 3 Purple Hearts and never left Europe the whole time. And he was adamant about not letting fascism and things like that happen again. So I think that's one of the things we can do honoring veterans is be wary of where we're headed and the things that are going on around us, because I know him and a lot of other folks would be turning in their graves right now if they knew what was happening. You know, I'm not trying to make something, you know, out of this phone call other than the fact that, yes, we should respect our veterans and show them love every single day. But at the same time, you know, we really need to respect them by standing up for what's right and not letting our country follow in the same footsteps of other countries in the past.
Appreciate it. 866-391-1020 is that number. I always do find it interesting, and, you know, he spent it with his grandfather, and his grandfather would pass down lessons to him how people who didn't serve approach Veterans Day. I do find, you know what I find out? Here's the best way for me to put it. I never feel like I'm doing enough. I see TJ's online. I'm not answering his call today. You could tell him already, Margo. He can wait on hold for 3 days. He's not getting on today. He's just not going to ruin the mood. I just don't need somebody to be abrasive. I don't need somebody to divide, and I don't need somebody to be a jerk. So I'm not going to be an audience for him today. Linda is in Greensburg. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. The biggest thing I would like to mention to the American public is the best way to welcome a veteran home is if somebody owns a business, is in commercial work. If a veteran comes in with a broad skill set, not necessarily specialized, give that individual an opportunity to have an income and have a livelihood here in a civilian world. That's a good way of saying thank you. And I would also like to inform people to avoid the stereotype. Not every veteran that has any kind of challenges is all about drugs or alcohol or mental illness. A lot of it is just trying to get reestablished and stabilized in the civilian world.
Well, thank you. That's very well said and very appreciated, I'm sure, by a lot of veterans. They simply need a chance to sort of get reacclimated to civilian society. And they need a boost from people who have always been in civilian society. It's very well put. And thank you for the call. 866-391-1020. There are other things to get into. We will get into them today. We'll hear from President Bush, President George W. Bush, before this hour's out. A stirring speech. And again, there are other topics of the day that we'll dive into pretty heavy. That's 866-391-1020 right here. KDKA. All right, so there's that. I just talked to Rich about the airport yesterday, so be sure to go back on our Odyssey Rewind app. Check that out. Rich had a lot to say yesterday on the show in the 4 o'clock hour, I think it was. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. As always, you can listen to us 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDK or on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. You can also watch us online, KDK's video stream. It's all presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to KDKRadio.com and click on Watch KDK Radio's live stream. Now you can just go to our KDK Radio YouTube page, which is fantastic, and subscribe. Excuse me. So do that. Again, 866-391-1020. So here we go. Air travel. Messed up.
Another day, another round of flight delays and cancellations. Rebecca from Tewksbury and Don from Boston switched from American to Delta after their flight was canceled yesterday.
Proactively, we were just kind of, you know, checking the flight statuses yesterday, and we did get a notification that our flights were canceled.
12 hours before the flight that we got the cancellation notice.
They're well aware their flight back home to Logan may also be affected. That's because flight reductions increased to 6% today and up to 10% by Friday. James Rojas for CBS News, Boston.
Okay, so that's what's going on in Boston, right? With the flights being all messed up and kind of the trickle down all through our country. Well, someone right here in this office woke up today in Florida and is now here in Western Pennsylvania. I was worried. I was thinking about her. I was wondering if the domino effect would have found our dear Margo, producer Margo, here. So, Margo, were there many flights delayed at Tampa this morning? Or take me through your day to this point.
Well, I woke up and made sure that my flight wasn't canceled before we drove to the airport, and it wasn't. Everything with my travel journey went off without a hitch, but I saw one flight canceled on the big board that they show that was taking off and going to Chicago Midway.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only one I saw canceled.
Interesting.
Other than that, I didn't see many delays. Security was normal, but people always say the Tampa airport is very easy to deal with.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first time there, and I totally agree because they have it really split up.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, I didn't see any problems with people's flights.
Were the travelers more tense than normal, or was it just you couldn't tell anything? Like, it just was what it was.
You couldn't really tell anything. I thought the travelers would be tense, but I also thought the TSA agents would be tense as well. They weren't. They were kind as ever. And I think because a lot of people are trying to really be efficient and not really make their lives a lot harder than they already are right now. That's what I personally noticed. And the TSA agents were actually the nicest I've ever seen them.
Well, man. Well, that's good to know. Real quick, before you get back to your producing duties, Margo, I'll have you know this. This is no exaggeration. Three people this weekend. Three different people. Two I know and one a total stranger. Walked up to me and said, hey, how you doing? I said, good, you know. And they said, hey, I have a question for you. Three different people. And this one was, no, two were on Saturday, one was on Sunday. And I said, well, what? And they said, did Margo make her flight on time? That was what people had top of mind from Friday's show. Did Margo make her flight on time?
I did.
And all three, I said, yes. She sent me a picture of her and a beer in front of her at the Pittsburgh airport like 40 minutes after she left the Green Tree studio. She yep. made it through rapidly.
Yeah, I we were the first ones in the security line when we walked up. Friday, genuinely, nothing went wrong.
I know, Friday night, you made it through fast, Margo.
Yeah, very fast. And then we were like, we have 2 hours before our flight, so we sat at the Permane Brothers in the airport.
When I made it home to Hampton, as I was pulling in the garage, you sent me a photo of you with a beer already.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, I'm counting my lucky stars. I'm buying a lottery ticket today.
Well, I'm glad everything was well. Everything went well. A lot of listeners were chiming in, text line, and people worried about you. I mean it, on social media and everything. So it's weird that it has affected so many people, and you just kind of, you lucked out with two really good flights and two really good airports that were run efficiently. I guess that's the takeaway, right?
Absolutely, and I know there are a lot of people that are affected, but don't be too scared off from traveling.
There we go. There's Margo's words of advice. 866-391-1020. We'll hear from President George W. Bush in just a little bit. But let's hear from Dave and Rankin. But we need to stop the show for a minute. Dave and Rankin put on social media last evening, he bowled a 300 game, which is room for applause to begin with. But will you let the masses know, Dave, what number 300 game this is for you?
It's 38, and it's 38 sanctioned, which means they're all recognized by the United States Bowling Congress, which means they were bowled in competition that is sanctioned by the governing body of bowling. So they're not just practice games or pot games or something I might be fibbing about, which a lot of bowlers do, unfortunately. So, hey, thanks for the kudos, Colin. That's great. And actually, my friend Brian shared it first. So since he shared it, I shared it. I'm not usually one to brag.
38.
Yep.
38 300 games. That's yep. pretty incredible. You ever? I mean, there are a lot of people that chase one, probably.
Yeah, well, I'd say in the area, I'm probably in the top five of all time. I don't know what the exact numbers are. Now, there's places in the country because of conditions and equipment where it's a lot easier to attain a 300. I don't bowl in one of those quote-unquote pockets,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of glad because it's a little more hard. It's hard to earn it around. I'm not going to say it's hard. It's just more difficult than in certain, let's say, markets in the country. So I'm proud of it.
Well, you should be. Now, do you get a patch or a certification or something to denote that every time?
There'll be like a certificate, and it'll be on display at the National Bowling Hall of Fame, which is in Arlington, Texas. And it used to be you got a ring for every one, but then they became so regular and prevalent that they stopped giving away rings. So if you want to buy a ring, you can buy one for like $75 for the pewter one, and gold is probably around market price $500-$600.
Gotcha. All right. So what about Veterans Day? Nice transition there, right?
Yeah. My dad, well, he got me bowling, actually, to start with, and he was my original hero. And one of his proudest accomplishments was his Navy veteranship. And unfortunately, he died 23 years ago, and I didn't appreciate his veteranship enough to have celebrated it enough with him. But I loved him, and I respected him in many ways. So it was shared, but it could have been better. But going off of what the gentleman said earlier, I think he kind of was talking about Trump and the direction the country's going with Trump. And my dad might just be rolling over in his grave because, unfortunately, as much as I loved him, he was blinded by his partisan politics. But I think that we're 100% better off than we were during the last administration. So maybe there's a lot of people that aren't rolling over in their graves.
Yeah, I think that on a day like this, people, and I'll get into this a little bit later, probably in the 5 o'clock hour, that it's a day not to be muddied by partisan politics, and it's a day to look at the people who served and who stood by and who fought for a country no matter what people's political beliefs were back home, Dave.
Yes, and I want to thank everyone for their veteranship, past and present, and you don't know how much we care and we respect you, and thanks for putting this on the platform today, Colin.
Great stuff. Thank you, Dave, and congratulations again. I saw that on social media last night, and he was pretty nonchalant about it. 38 300 games. Like, what? That can't be true. And it is. Coming up next, President George W. Bush from 2006. Some Veterans Day remarks. Wait till you hear these. 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020 right here, KDK. All right, at the end of the hour, each hour, I'm going to play a speech around Veterans Day. Give a listen to President Bush, George W. Bush, 2006, Arlington.
Thanks for coming. Secretary Nicholson, thank you for your kind words and for your leadership. Members of the Cabinet, members of Congress, members of the United States military, all veterans, all volunteers who've sworn to uphold the security of the United States. I thank your families for being here, and I thank our veterans. I am proud to join you on this day of honor. On this day and this month, at this hour, our nation remembers the moment when the guns of World War I went silent, and we recognize the service and the sacrifice of our nation's veterans. From Valley Forge to Vietnam, from Kuwait to Kandahar, from Berlin to Baghdad, our veterans have borne the costs of America's wars, and they have stood watch over America's peace. The American people are grateful to the veterans and all who have fought for our freedom. Since the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, the National Cemetery has reminded our citizens of the cost of liberty. The simple white markers testify to honor fulfilled and duty served. Most of these markers stand over graves of Americans who came home to enjoy the peace they earned. Too many stand over the graves of those who gave their lives to protect that peace. This day is dedicated to all who answered the call to service. Whether they live in honor among us or sleep in valor beneath this sacred ground. On this Veterans Day, we give thanks for the 24 million Americans who strengthen our nation with their example of service and sacrifice. Our veterans are drawn from many generations and from many backgrounds. Some charged across great battlefields. Some fought on the high seas. Some patrolled the open skies. And all contributed to the character and to the greatness of America. On this Veteran Day, we honor a new generation of men and women who are defending our freedom. Since September the 11th, 2001, our armed forces have engaged the enemy, the terrorists, on many fronts. At this moment, more than 1.4 million Americans are on active duty, serving in the cause of freedom and peace around the world. They are our nation's finest citizens. They confront grave danger to defend the safety of the American people. They brought down tyrants. They've liberated two nations. They have helped bring freedom to more than 50 million people. Through their sacrifice, they are making this nation safer and more secure, and they are earning the proud title of veteran. On this Veterans Day, we're humbled by the strong hearts of those who have served. Last week, Secretary Nicholson told me about a visit he made to New York City, where he met a group of veterans who lost limbs in this war. Secretary Nicholson asked them how they could keep their spirits up. One man answered, "Sir, it is because we feel the American people are so appreciative of our service." Many of our veterans bear the scars of their service to our country, and we are a nation that will keep its commitments to those who have risked their lives for freedom. That young man was right. We do appreciate the service of those who wear our uniforms. To help our Americans show our appreciation to those who have served, Secretary Nicholson has asked all our nation's veterans to wear their medals today. I urge our citizens to go up to those men and women and shake a hand and give a hug and give a word of thanks. I ask you to consider volunteering at a veterans hospital or a nursing home. I encourage you to work with your local veterans group to help support our troops in the field and their families here at home. As we raise our flag, and as the bugle sounds taps, we remember that the men and women of America's armed forces serve a great cause. They follow in a great tradition handed down to them by America's veterans. And in public ceremonies and in private prayer, we give thanks for the freedom we enjoy because of their willingness to serve. I thank you for honoring those who serve today and for honoring those who have set such a sterling example, our nation's veterans. May God bless our veterans. May God bless all who wear the uniform. And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
President George W. Bush, 2006, News Top of the Hour, KDK.